Blog Talk Radio.
Excited about tonight's show. As you guys know, we are a company that is a company that just goes all out for young aspiring football players. We tend to work with young football players between the ages of 13 through 19. But really, if you love football and it's something that you aspire to be good at, we're open to everybody. You know, everybody can get a little piece of advice or food for thought out of Before You Go Pro. Typically, we have a teaching topic once a week, and we also bring in a guest once a week. But this week, we actually have two really good guests coming into the locker room to feed into our audience, to feed into the young aspiring players and their families. And tonight is no different. We have a man that has accomplished a lot in college football, and he's also gone on to play arena football, and he's a great businessman now. And I think we have him on the line. Bobby, are you with us?
Yeah, Terrence, I'm here, man.
Great, great. So for everybody that is listening tonight, and there'll be some people to check out the archive show too, but we have Bobby Pesavant on with us. He is a dear friend of mine. He's a former teammate at the University of Colorado. This guy will always be in my heart because he has helped to bring the only Big 12 championship back to Boulder, Colorado, and I know he's in the heart of so many people back there in Boulder, Colorado. Still living in Colorado himself and doing well for himself, and we really appreciate your time tonight, Bobby.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be a part of this. I love what you're doing for these kids, and I'm excited to share my story with them.
I appreciate it a lot, man. And once again, love you to death. And a lot of the kids that we work with, Bobby, they're at various levels of football. We've got some kids that are in junior high. We've got some high schoolers, and even some junior college and college kids. So, we want to hear about your story a little bit. As I've done my research and things that I already knew, I know that your story wasn't always the red carpet treatment. So I just appreciate you sharing your story with us tonight. And let's get right into it because we have roughly about 40 minutes and I want the kids to hear as much as possible from you. For everybody that doesn't know you, Bobby, tell us a little bit about where you're from, where you originally grew up.
Yeah, so I'm originally from the state of Indiana. I grew up in a town called Schererville, Indiana, which is about 30 minutes outside of downtown Chicago, right over the state line, Indiana and Illinois. And, I grew up in the state of Indiana playing basketball. And just I loved being an athlete and playing sports and competing. Football wasn't a huge sport in that state. So, followed kind of what everybody else did until, you know, around eighth grade, and I gave football a shot. And when I was in eighth grade, I wasn't a big fan of it, to be honest with you. I didn't last very long. I quit playing. I didn't like it. You know, went back to concentrating on playing basketball until I got into high school, and you know, really was found by my high school coach in the gym just throwing the ball around. And
wow.
He thought, hey, this is something you should really give a shot. So I didn't play high school football my freshman year. So, you know, I went in kind of blind as a sophomore in high school, trying to figure the game out.
So your high school coach, Colorado, owes him a little credit for helping to bring that Big 12 championship back to Boulder, huh?
I mean, I guess a little bit. You know, he was a great guy, and he was, you know, a person that really saw the talent that was inside me and the ability that was there. And, you know, very, very thankful for that to this day. You know, that he, you know, was able to have that conversation with me and say, hey, you know, this is, you're a big kid. You can throw a football around. You're smart. You know, you should really, really chase after this dream. And, you know, with the help of him and my parents, you know, just being supportive, you know, whatever it was, whether it was baseball as a young kid or basketball, and then when football came around, you know, just always being there and being my biggest support staff to give me whatever I needed to hear and from practice to workouts, you know, to make sure that, you know, I was able to excel at the best I could.
No, definitely. And what was the name of the high school you went to, Bobby?
Lake Central High School.
Lake Central, great, great. And was it a school that was known for basketball or baseball, or did they have some football team as well?
You know, it was a very large school, one of the larger schools in the state. So it was pretty competitive in all sports. So it was a great place just to attend high school because I was playing basketball as well as football. And, you know, had very competitive teams and playing against some other very competitive teams. So, you know, it was great life lessons. You know, I think it's so important to, you know, not just focus on one sport sometimes because you develop all these other skills and attributes and, you know, you learn to be competitive in different ways, you know, on different fields. And so, you know, I think having, you know, basketball as a love as well as football in high school really helped me become even a better football player. And it was just because I had...
Go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead.
No,
Bobby,
go ahead. What were you gonna say? I was just going to say...
I was just
going to
say that I'm glad you brought that up because we just had a show about... kids playing alternate sports, and as you know, a lot of kids specialize in today's times, and it's good to hear somebody say that they believe you get a lot out of football through playing other sports.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and for me personally, you know, playing the quarterback position, you know, you can do a whole lot of stuff every day to get better as a quarterback. But, you know, when the season's over and it transferred over to high school basketball, I mean, you're improving your footwork, your hand-eye coordination, everything, every day playing basketball or whatever other sport you enjoy playing. And I just think it develops so much more as an athlete and as a human being, you know, being multifaceted and playing different sports. And, you know, you also have another coach there who may be, you know, motivating you or showing you different things in a different way than your football coach, and that's just growing as a young man. So I credit, you know, playing basketball in high school to a lot of my football success.
Cool, that's real cool. As far as you playing in high school, when did you start to notice, Bobby, that, hey, I might be able to make something out of this football thing? Was it your coach continuing to tell you, or was it a particular game or play where you thought that, hey, maybe I can take this to the next level?
Definitely my high school coach was a huge, you know, a huge supporter and truly believed that I could play at the next level. You know, I don't think I really saw it until, you know, probably halfway through my junior year. And just because I was kind of behind starting football so late in, you know, in my sports life, that it kind of took about halfway through that junior year where I really started to figure out the game, you know, and realize that it wasn't just, you know, I could take a ball and throw it where I wanted it. There was so much stuff that went into it. That I, you know, I really started gaining that confidence. And then when the confidence came, then the desire came, you know, that I want to play college football. And once that desire came, you know, then the work ethic accelerated big time, because, you know, then I made my decision that I want to play college football, and I was going to do whatever I could to do it.
So were you still pursuing basketball opportunities in college, or after your junior year, did you say, I'm going to focus on this football thing and go all out with football?
I mean, I still was focusing on basketball just because I loved the sport. But I was at a point, you know, going into my senior year of high school where the interest level and the schools that interest was coming from was totally different. You know, the basketball schools were, you know, Division II type of schools, and football was Division I schools. So obviously, you know, I gravitated towards football and chasing that dream because, you know, I definitely wanted to try to play at the ultimate level.
What's your feeling, Bobby, as far as kids, whether it was back in your time or even today, coming out of Indiana? Do you feel like it's a hard state to get recruited out of, or do you think it, as long as you do your thing on Friday nights and Saturdays, you'll be okay coming out of Indiana?
Yeah, I would say, you know, back when I was in high school, we didn't really have many kids, no matter how good they were, really leaving, you know, the Midwest and that Big Ten area, because that's just kind of all that came in there. So I think nowadays it's a lot different just because of, I mean, there's so many different outlets to get recruited by besides just a coach showing up at your house. So, you know, I think it's nowadays, as long as you're showing what you're capable of and you're doing well in school and you're showing that you're, you know, good in the community, I think coaches will find you, you know, no matter where you are, which was a little different than when you and I were in school.
Definitely. Were you a pretty good student, Bobby, or was that something that you constantly needed to focus on and work on and improve?
No, you know, I was a pretty good student, you know, got very good grades, you know, not a straight A type of guy, but, you know, a 3.5 type of grade point average in high school. So, but it was something I took pride in as well, because, you know, I realized that to this day now at 34 years old, you know, I'm blessed that I took pride in my education, because football only lasts so long. So, you know, I had great support staff and coaches and parents with that constant reminding, you know, you got to get good grades. You got to get good grades no matter what, because you never know when football is going to disappear from your life.
Great point. Yeah, and we deal with kids across the country now, Bobby, and unfortunately there are kids, as you know, that shoot themselves in the foot with their academics. So you said that you had a good support system around you, people reminding you that was important as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, from my parents to coaches and just other people within the halls of the high school I attended that wanted to see me be successful. You know, maybe they couldn't help out athletically, but they were always there to say, hey, you know, make sure that, you know, the grades stay where they are, because it's great that you can play a sport, but, you know, you got to get an education. You got to go on to the next level, not just athletically, but the next level academically as well.
Definitely. A lot of the people, and you actually know some of the people that have already been in the Before You Go Pro locker room speaking to the kids, some of your old teammates, and a lot of them have talked about the intent Bobby that they knew going into high school that they wanted to play at the college level. Did you already know, whether it was basketball or football, did you know that you wanted to be a college athlete walking into high school?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I did. I mean, my situation going into high school, I thought I was going to be a college basketball player, you know, until somebody, you know, put a football in my hand and convinced me and showed me, you know, that I could really be successful at that. But I think it's something that, you know, and I've coached some high school kids around town here in Colorado when I have free time. And, you know, it's a hard thing to coach. Drive and motivation and the want to, it's a hard thing to coach. And I feel like, me personally, I had that at a very young age. You know, I can't remember, you know, many days where coming in second was ever okay for me growing up, you know. And I think that's just and I think that's just a mentality that you have it or you don't have it, and you just want to be the best and you want to win. And so, you know, I can't tell you, I can't remember what age I really started realizing that, but, you know, I'd say it was fairly young that, you know, I knew that I wanted to be, you know, the best at whatever I was doing and, you know, continue that through high school and then make that jump to the college athletics.
Great. And as far as you doing good in high school and starting to see some potential your junior year and then leading off with football as your focus your senior year, talk to me a little bit about some of the schools that were recruiting you. Who was showing you the most interest coming out of high school?
Yeah, I mean, being kind of a late bloomer, I would call myself, you know, coming out of high school, it was all Midwest, you know, Mid-American Conference, Big Ten type of school. So it was, you know, Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, Illinois, Miami of Ohio, Ball State, Western Michigan. You know, the kind of the farthest away was Vanderbilt, who was showing some interest. But I really wasn't on the top of anybody's radar. I was, you know, when it really came down to the nitty-gritty part of it and who was really going to offer a scholarship, you know, I felt like having candid conversations, I was kind of third or fourth on their list. So nobody was really excited to throw a scholarship at me right away because they wanted to wait and see what their other guys were choosing to do. So it was definitely an interesting experience because, you know, as a young kid, you get these phone calls and you get all these letters and you kind of get taken, you get excited about everything that you're seeing until you really realize, you know, how interested are they? So, you know, and Northwestern's a funny story because of Gary Barnett, who we ended up playing for at CU. You know, he was the head coach there when I was coming out of high school. But again, I was, you know, their fourth choice. So I got to a point where, you know, I was getting a little impatient where I had an offer from Miami of Ohio. And I, you know, it wasn't my first choice. I was waiting to see if some of these other Big Ten schools would actually offer a scholarship. And, you know, it just, I didn't feel like it was going to happen. So, I committed to Miami of Ohio and signed with them and was excited when it happened, but definitely was an interesting recruiting experience for me.
So you would say that the primary reason you chose Miami of Ohio was because they were showing you the most interest, the most love, and that's where you thought you'd get a good shot to play?
Yeah, absolutely. And they were definitely showing the most interest and you know, the most attention, and I really felt like because of their situation there, you know, I could go in redshirt and then have a chance to play as a redshirt freshman. So, you know, once I kind of believed in that and felt that was the true scenario, I, you know, didn't delay anymore and made my commitment to them.
And I'm just so happy to have you on tonight, Bobby. And once again, for those that are just joining with us, we have Bobby Pesavanto. He is Big 12 championship-winning quarterback at the University of Colorado. in 2001. He's played arena football with a few teams as well, and then also an established business person in Colorado, and just a great person to feed into our audience. And one of the main reasons why I wanted to talk to you, Bobby, and get you in the locker room was because so many kids don't have the fairy tale story. You know, not many of us were five-star recruits and got to choose any school we wanted and had a great college career and went to the NFL. That's the fairy tale story. But you actually have a little bit of an issue once you got to Miami of Ohio. You were there for 2 years and then decided to go back to a junior college. What was the reasoning behind that decision, Bobby? What didn't you like about Miami of Ohio?
Basically, when I got there, it was a lot of stuff. It just wasn't the football side of it. You know, it was Miami of Ohio is a very small town in the middle of Ohio, and you're kind of secluded and away from any sort of life, to be honest with you. That was a bit of a struggle for me. And on the football side of things, you know, I had some minor injuries that got in the way of spring ball and got in the way of my chances to really show what I was capable of. Couple that with a coaching change. And, you know, after 2 years, I just wasn't very happy there at all. And if I wasn't happy where I was and in my surroundings, you know, I really felt like I wasn't going to be able to put my best foot forward playing football. So,
good point.
I made that decision to ask for my release and to look elsewhere to further my collegiate career.
So talk to me about that, Bobby. When you asked for your release, was this something that you talked with your parents about first? Was everybody in your family a thumbs up, or did you get some naysayers as far as that decision?
You know, I think there was always support, but there was definitely, there was definitely questions of why, and do you really think you can end up somewhere better? And, you know, and I understood that, and I expected that. But at the end of the day, you know, there was full support in my choice of trying to find a happier place for me to be and for me to play college football.
Great. So you went to Fort Scott Junior College, and you had a great career there, or at least 1 year there, over 2,400 yards passing, 22 TDs. What was the decision to go to Fort Scott? Did you have a coaching contact there, or was that the local school where you were from? What was the decision for Fort Scott?
You know, it's a crazy, crazy story. I really delayed my decision. Yeah. I was thinking about going just a local 1AA school, Illinois State University, you know, so I could transfer and play right away. And then at the end of the very end, my high school coach said, hey, I know a guy in Kansas, coaches at a junior college. You know, it would be a great place for you to go and play and get recruited all over again and try to find the place that you really want to be at. So, you know, made contact with the coaching staff out there, never seen the place, never been, and just had a really good feeling over the phone talking to the head coach and the offensive coordinator that it would be a great opportunity for me to come in, show my talents and throw the ball around and, you know, and like I said earlier, have that opportunity to get recruited all over again. So made that choice and went out there and the crazy part of the story is, you know, being a qualifier out of high school, it wasn't like I had to go there for a certain amount of time, but the rules are you had to complete 30 hours or you had to spend a year's residency at the junior college. So in the fall of that year, on top of playing football, I took 30 hours of school so I could get that
associate's
degree.
30 hours?
Yeah. No joke, man. 30 hours of school.
So
you
weren't doing anything. You were probably on the football field with a book in your hand, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was, well, I mean, luckily, Fort Scott, Kansas, there's nothing to do there anyways. So it was kind of, it was a very good fit. But, you know, I wanted to be somewhere in January for the spring semester to participate in spring ball. And that's what I had to do. I had to complete 30 hours in one semester so I could get that associate's degree and be able to move on to whatever school I chose.
So two fabulous points out of this for all you young kids listening and maybe some of your parents that are listening as well is one, whether it was the decision to leave Miami of Ohio or to go to Fort Scott, Bobby was trusting his instinct. He was trusting his gut intuition. And then the other thing is he was so determined to get back to the Division I-A level that he took 30 hours of school, kind of a whatever it takes mentality to get to where I got to go. So you guys definitely keep that in mind. And once again, you blew it up at Fort Scott. So talk to me right after Fort Scott. What type of opportunity did you have after that season up there?
Sure. You know, I got a lot of attention that during that season. And obviously, you know, one being from Colorado, the others, University of Minnesota, Auburn, Alabama, Cal, Arizona State. So, you know, it was a great thing for me. You know, I grew up, you know, from an 18-year-old kid to a 20-year-old kid, put on some size, some more strength, and learned more about the game. So then now all of a sudden there's a whole nother level of Division I schools that had interest in me. And all great opportunities, all great places to go see, but, you know, there was something, it's really hard to put into words, but there was just something when I went to Boulder and visited CU and got around the guys and knew who I was going to spend the next, you know, 2.5 years of my life with, that it was really a no-brainer situation for me. No-brainer type of decision, you know, when it came down to of all those schools, at University of Colorado is where I wanted to go.
And obviously we were happy and elated you made that decision, man, once again. And, you know, for you, you know, it wasn't a red carpet treatment all the time, and you actually played your first year up at CU and then were benched. And did you feel like that first year when you got some playing time but then you were put on the bench, did you feel like that was kind of going to be it for your chance to play quarterback at Colorado, or did you always have in the back of your mind that you would get another shot?
You know, to be honest with you, when it first happened, I did. I felt like, you know, that was it. You know, there goes my football career because, you know, Craig Oaks, the kid who was playing, as you know, was a heck of a football player, and he was very, very good quarterback. So, you know, I kind of had to accept my role as, you know, I'm going to be a senior. I still need to be a leader. I got to prepare and be ready to play because you never know what's going to happen. But, you know, I really went into my senior year thinking that, you know, hey, Craig's a guy. I'm here to support him, and I'm here to be, you know, a leader for the rest of the guys. So that was my mentality going in. But I never took a day off, and I never stopped preparing like I was the starter, and I think that's key. You know, because, like, you never know when your name's going to get called, and if you're not preparing every day like you're the guy, you're not going to be ready. So, you know, a huge part of, you know, being ready when the time came, when Craig ended up getting hurt.
Do you feel like, Bobby, your what's the right word I'm looking for, demeanor or attitude changed any to the coaches when you were benched, or do you feel like you were still somebody that was upbeat and somebody that they would want to play if their number was called?
You know, I do think, you know, in my junior year when it happened, there was a few weeks there where, you know, I was probably a little down and a little sour and wasn't being the right teammate I needed to be. And, you know, and luckily, you know, a few weeks of that type of attitude and, you know, it just kind of had a wake-up call and decided that, you know, I'm still a Buffalo. I'm still part of this team. You know, I still bleed black and gold. So I got to do whatever I can do to help them be successful. So, you know, there was a lapse there in having the right attitude for a few weeks. But, you know, once I saw that, I turned it around pretty quickly.
And we are definitely glad you did turn it around because, like you said, you know, we needed you. And guys get injured. Guys don't have great performances. And all you young players got to be ready. If you're second string, you're only one play away. So luckily for us, the Buffaloes, Bobby was ready to go. And you ended up getting a chance to play a lot your senior year. In 2000, you played five games, had 536 yards passing, and three TDs. But in 2001, you threw for over 1,200 yards and threw eight TDs and took us to a championship. Do you feel like you would have been able to pull off that type of performance if you hadn't prepared yourself to be ready?
No, there's no chance I could have been. You know, there's no way I could have pulled that off if I didn't work hard during spring ball and through the summer and through camp that year leading into our senior season, you know, and then preparing every week like I was the starter, even though I knew I was number two. You know, whether it was in practice or in the weight room or in the film room, you know, I just took that mentality that I got to be ready for my teammates if something happens to the number one guy. And, you know, and that's – and I truly believed in that. And if I wouldn't have taken – if I wouldn't have had that attitude and that work ethic, you know, when Craig went down the first time and I would have had to come in and play, there's just no way I would have been ready within the game plan or physically to perform. So it's so key to always prepare no matter what, no matter if you think you're going to play or not going to play or you think you're going to play every down in the game. I mean, everybody's got to be on the same page.
Definitely. And when did you start to feel, because you mentioned Craig and he was a ballyhooed young Colorado kid, so he was kind of the chosen one because he was playing in his home state, and then Craig went down and you had to step in. When did you feel, Bobby, like it was really becoming your team? When did you feel like this is mine for the taking?
You know, I'd definitely say, you know, the first time Craig got hurt, we were down in Austin, Texas, playing Texas, and I started that game and, you know, felt that I played pretty well individually. But, you know, still that first game in, new quarterback, new guy under center. And so I think it really took until, you know, the next week after when we were – or the next game after when I came in, we were in Oklahoma State in Stillwater, where, you know, when I walked in the huddle, it was kind of a different look in everybody's eyes. And everybody said, all right, Bobby's here, he's ready, you know, let's go do this. And from that moment forward – I mean, our offense was just firing on all cylinders.
What do you think it is, Bobby, of championship teams? You know, I mean, we had a lot of talent on that team, but not every championship team is the most talented. What do you think it was about that group that was able to bring home the first and only Big 12 championship to Colorado?
Yeah, you know, I think we had a group of guys that just had the utmost respect for one another. And, you know, whoever you were lined up next to, the last thing you wanted to do was let that person down. And, you know, everybody loved one another, and everybody just made a decision that, you know, we want to go win, and we want to win the Big 12 championship. And like you said, we had a lot of talented guys, but that only goes so far because, you know, I think it was the fact that, you know, we cared for each other was the biggest thing. Because of that, everybody prepared harder, and everybody worked harder in the weight room, and everybody trained harder. So then when Saturdays rolled around, that was the easy part, you know, because now we're just out there having a good time, and we're having fun with each other. So, you know, I think you really got to get that, build that camaraderie, and you got to respect one another and care for one another and want to make sure that your teammate, you know, gets the best out of you because you're expecting the best out of him. And that's what we had.
What was the feeling from back home and your old high school coach and the Fort Scott people when they got to see you becoming a leader on the team and taking us to the Big 12 championship? Everybody had to be pretty proud, huh?
Yeah, it was great. You know, it was really cool. You know, just the people back in Indiana and the media and the newspapers, you know, just wanting to hear the story and wanting to be involved. And then especially, you know, the guys at the junior college at Fort Scott, you know, always just wanting to hear about, you know, how great it was going and how proud they were. And that's the great thing about athletics. You know, if you know, there's so many people that care for you, they want to support you and they want to see you do well. So there's a part, you know, there's some responsibility, I think, of yourself as an individual to give 100%, to give it back to them because they're giving you so much support through the years.
Definitely. And we do have a guest call-in number. If somebody wants to call in, we've got roughly about 8 minutes here, but it's area code 310-807-5195. We have Bobby Pesavento on, Big 12 championship quarterback. That's a very small list. Guys like Scott Frost, Jason White, Sam Bradford of the St. Louis Rams, and Vince Young, who is a famous quarterback in Texas. So you're a part of a very, very small list, man. And talk to us a little bit about finally holding that trophy in your hands. Did you feel like all the decisions were worth it? Was there anything that you would change about your journey?
Man, you know, being down there in Dallas and having that trophy was just the, you know, the ultimate, just the culmination of years of hard work and trusting my gut and you know, trusting the decisions I felt like I needed to make. You know, it was pretty emotional because it, you know, it wasn't the easiest route to get there. And, you know, it took tremendous support from family and coaches, and then also, you know, a group of guys that, like yourself and everybody else, that was already at CU when I came there, you know, to grab me and say, hey, you're part of this, let's go, you know, and it, there was no bumps in the road, you know, being a new guy. It was just, it was great. It was just, it was the perfect culmination of decision-making and trusting my gut. I don't know really know how else to put it.
No, that's perfect. I appreciate that. And just, you know, so the kids can grab onto something, I mean, you shared with us so many things tonight, but so the kids can really grab onto something, I think you'd be one of the perfect people to talk about the mentality a kid needs to have, whether he's an eighth grader going into high school or a high school kid going into college, or maybe even a college kid getting a shot at the pros. What would you say to that kid, Bobby, that's just trying to get his breakthrough, that's just trying to get the coach to recognize him and get a shot on the field?
You know, the words of advice I'd have for it just went right along with my life and my experience playing is, you can just never quit because there's a lot of guys that face adversity and it's easy to throw in the towel and it's easy to give up when things aren't going smoothly. But, you know, I truly feel like it's the guys that have the grit and the willpower and the fight to get through all the crap that you have to deal with, whether it's, you know, from coaches or from, you know, another kid's playing and you think you should be playing. You can just never drop your head. You got to keep your head high. You got to keep your confidence high. You got to keep that right attitude because if you keep knocking on the door, it's promise you it's going to open soon enough, and the opportunity is going to be there. And when that opportunity is there, you know, you got to be ready, and you got to perform when it's presented to you. So it's just never giving up, and it's just being the ultimate preparer, I think, are two huge keys to being successful in football.
Perfect. And one last thing, Bob, before we let you go, and once again appreciate the time. You seem like somebody that has transitioned from football very, very well, whether it's business or home life with your fiance. And as you know, so many guys don't transition so well. Is there anything maybe that you think has helped you out in that arena?
You know, I think the greatest thing for me is I've really taken the lessons I've learned in football and sports and really transferred them into life lessons. You know, because if you experience what we've experienced, you know, in high school and college, and if you get to play at a professional level somewhere, you know, you've gone through a lot of things that a lot of other people that you're working with when you're 35 have never even dealt with. So it's the transferring over of those lessons and not, you know, you don't have to lose your pride because you don't play football anymore. You know, I mean, I think that's the hardest part. When you wake up one day and you're not a football player anymore, you know, you gotta do something else with your life. But if you use all that stuff that you learned and you experienced and you went through, and you know, roll that into what you're doing on a daily basis in business, it's going to lead to a lot of success. And that's really how, you know, I've embraced it, and that's how I've dealt with it in the working world and in, you know, and in personal life with my fiance.
Fabulous, fabulous advice, man. And once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. We will definitely have you on many more times and get you involved in some of the other things we're doing with the kids. You still getting high fives and free beers out there in Colorado?
Yeah, you know, every now and then it's sad because I'd rather have a CU team play well so they can forget about us already. But, I guess I'll keep taking them if they want to keep giving them.
Well, I know you are definitely a superstar out there, man. And, yeah, we definitely need those buffs to come back. One of our kids, actually, Donovan Lee, hopefully he's listening tonight. He's going to Colorado, a slot back who's dynamic. Great kid out of California. So hopefully we can get that going again and win a Pac-12 championship. And once again, Bobby, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
T-Wood, thank you, man. I'm grateful to be a part of it.
All right, buddy. I'll get in contact with you when I'm back in Colorado. You have a great evening.
All right, you too.
All right. So there you guys have it. We had Bobby Pesavento, fabulous, fabulous guy. He is just one of the best teammates that you could ever have. Big 12 championship winning quarterback when nobody thought he could do it out of the University of Colorado in 2001. Hopefully you guys got a lot out of tonight's show. I definitely enjoyed it. And the big news that we also have today is that our paperback is alive and ready to go. You can purchase our paperback Before You Go Pro book on Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com. It is a 220-page book that is just packed with plenty of content and plenty of good stories that will give you guys food for thought. If you're really getting after this game of football and the business of football, it's a book that you and your family definitely need to read. So once again, you go to BarnesandNobles.com or Amazon.com, type in Before You Go Pro, you can find that book. You can also purchase the e-book if you go to our website, www.BeforeYouGoPro.com. Our e-book is there for purchase, our online mentoring information, and just tons and tons of information for any kid that is just content on getting after big-time football and as much opportunity as he can provide himself. So, Bobby Pesavento, great job, and we will see you guys on Thursday for another great guest. We have McCorey Collins coming in, a former Oregon football player. So, join us on Thursday. You guys have a great evening, and we will definitely see you at the top. Bye-bye.